Welcome to Saving the Game. I'm Grant.
I'm Peter.
And I'm Brandon.
And this is going to be probably a shortish episode, maybe a bonus episode, we'll see. This is episode 12. This should be the first episode of 2013. Congratulations, you all survived Christmas, New Year's, and the Mayan apocalypse.
It was a very, very wimpy apocalypse.
Was cold, at least around here, but hey, yes. That's the weather for you.
I think it's vying with Y2K for biggest anticlimax.
Yes, and this one didn't even require any programming.
Of course, technically, all we're saying this are predictions, because as of this recording, we are actually one day away from the actual supposedly Mayan apocalypse.
Yeah, the good news is, if you're hearing this, it didn't happen, and if it did happen, you're not hearing it, are you?
Yeah, you have other things to worry about.
So convenient! Anyway.
So if the apocalypse happened and we are conquered by a race of mole people, we humbly serve you.
And unlike NASA, we're actually putting our prediction out after the thing is that's supposed to happen. So
I, for one, welcome our new underground overlords. Underlords? I don't know. Anyway.
Overlords from underground? Whatever.
Whatever it is. So, first of all, thank you everybody who contributed to our fundraiser for PEG Partners. As of this recording, obviously, we don't have final numbers yet. We'll have something, though, when this episode drops in the blog post, on our page, etc. But I want to thank all of you for, A, putting up with our repeated reminders about it, and B, those of you who donated, thank you. You've done a lot of good for a very good cause, and we cannot tell you enough how much we appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a very worthy cause and a very cool kind of grassrootsy charity, and we're very proud that our small fledgling community was able to contribute as much as they already have.
Yeah.
In other words, you guys rock.
Yes, you guys are awesome. Thank you. So, what we wanted to do is kind of depart a little bit from our usual format here and just sort of talk about our resolutions, the three of us, for 2013. And we've got a few resolutions that some of our listeners sent in to us as well. Just a couple of those.
I'm going to throw a little bit of a wrench in the gears here and say we should probably also at least touch on how 2012 went for all of us.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. Where do you want to start?
I think we should start with how 2012 went for all of us.
Okay. I'm a dad.
Yeah. Grant is a dad. Grant.
Guys, I'm a dad now.
Yeah, that's definitely a
You can't
major...
see the blank look I'm sending towards the computer, listeners. There you are.
Well, if one of us screen captures it, you can.
It's the look of, I'm very happy about this, but I haven't actually slept since sometime in mid-May.
Yeah, tell me about it. I'm also very, very grateful and extremely blessed that our daughter is healthy, given the medical issues she was born with. She's doing great now, and we couldn't be happier. Other than that, that's kind of been the defining thing of the year for me. I'm still employed.
That's always a good thing.
Got that.
I am also still employed, which is always a good thing. 2012 has actually been a really good year for me and my wife.
Good.
Nothing earth-shattering or major, and I think that's one of the things that's made it such a good year. We had to fend off some crises in 2010 and 2011 that kind of did a number on us, and things were rough in various ways, and we kind of struggled a little bit, and 2012 has really just been kind of smooth sailing.
Good.
We've been making steady progress towards some of our goals. Nothing particularly bad has happened to us or anybody we were really close to. It's been a nice year.
Yeah.
It's been a real nice year.
Well, I think the most defining thing is I was able to join a podcast again after the first one I was on kind of went belly up.
That's good.
Yes. Yes, it's been a really interesting time. I forgot. At the beginning of this year, I was a Greek chair for LKT. And
LKT
was,
is
my film fraternity, Lambda Kappa Tau.
Okay.
Okay.
I was the Greek chair. I had stepped up and I did a rush that was really, really awesome, and then had to deal with the heartbreak of not being reelected, and went through some personal trauma of dealing with loss and pain and regret over that. And now I'm technically no longer a student. I just finished up, hopefully, my last class. I haven't officially graduated. I have to apply for that in January.
Right.
And then, as far as I know, all I'll have to do is go through, and then they'll say, okay, well, you know, you'll walk at the end of the semester.
Sweet. Well, good job there.
What degree have you just finished up the coursework for?
I believe either a BS or a BA in electronic media design. Probably electronic media and film, sorry. I was mixing up the two because I first got half of it at a community college that called it digital design or something like that.
Cool. Very nice. Very, very nice.
Yeah, very good. And yeah, I was going to say as well, you know, podcast, that's going well.
Yeah. We're on 12 episodes now.
Yeah, not bad for an every other week podcast with a couple major wrenches thrown into its works.
Yeah. Yeah, the very large wrench of the stuff that you talked about with your daughter, I'm very glad that that has worked its way out of the gears.
Me too. But cardiologist is very, very happy with where she is, so we're good there.
Excellent.
That's great.
And fortunately, I've got two co-hosts who can record without me if need be. So.
It was fun to record the episode about video games, but it just wasn't the same without you there, so we're very glad you're back.
Oh, good, good.
I think we talked for, what, about an hour and a half beforehand, Brandon? Like, I don't really want to talk about this without Grant there. I don't want to talk about this without Grant there either.
Yeah, an hour and a half, not like 3 days, which is actually what it was.
Yeah, that's true. It was an hour and a half spread out over 3 days. There was some back and forth on Skype, and it was like...
Let's do this.
But I really want Grant here for that. Yeah, you're right. I want Grant here for that too. Okay.
You guys are going to give me a complex, I swear.
You have a great idea.
Yeah, that's what your child is for. We don't need to give you a complex.
Dang it, he's right. All right.
But I actually think this might have been the first year that I spent fully out of my house.
Nice.
That's always a great feeling.
Yeah, it's a fun milestone.
Yeah, so...
This is actually the first year I've spent in a house I owned, so...
Also awesome.
Yeah. So, I guess resolutions then?
Yeah,
stuff for 2013?
Yeah, listeners, we went through and we divided our resolutions up into three primary categories: faith, personal, and gaming. I originally had 4 categories, but the other guys seem to like 3 better, so I rolled 2 of my categories into 1.
You always overcomplicate, right?
Yes, that's...
See, there we go.
Yeah.
It's all your fault.
Bulleted lists, unnecessary categories.
Actually, I think there is something else that we need to talk about. Something happened in 2012. Actually, last week.
Oh?
Yes. Around this time last week, we had our first session of... Peter's Game.
Ah, yes, we did finally get that off the ground.
I'm impressed that you forgot what you did last Thursday.
I work in retail, and it's the Christmas season. No further explanation
okay,
should be
this
required.
This was the one non-retail, non-Christmas thing we did.
Yeah, and then I promptly went back to having my sanity murdered at work.
All right, fair enough. But yeah, no, it was a really good first session. I'm excited
by
the game.
Was,
it's going to be good.
I was quite happy with how it went, so.
Yep. All right. I'll go ahead and start these off. And I think we should start with faith here.
Yeah, if for no other reason than it's the top of all of our lists.
Yeah. and, you know, the most important, if we're being honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this is actually probably one of my two biggest ones. For 2013, I really want to start regularly attending church. I haven't decided which church yet. My wife is Southern Baptist. I'm Presbyterian. There's a big disconnect there. So we're kind of trying to find some middle ground there. We live literally within walking distance of her church that she's grown up in and that she's related to half the people in, but it's a Southern Baptist church, which I'm not as comfortable in. So we're just kind of having to weigh that and figure out how to get that sorted out. But now that we have a daughter who can actually go out in public, so we don't have to watch out for infection or anything, we really don't have an excuse for avoiding church anymore.
Yeah.
And so I really, really want to start attending church regularly and going there and get in that habit so that when, you know, my daughter grows up, she's used to going to church regularly, and that's a big part of her life, not to mention, obviously, what it does for us.
Actually, getting to church more regularly is one of mine, too. My wife and I have a church here in town, and we get there probably probably about a third of the time or so, if we were to average it out over the course of the entire year.
Yeah.
I would like to get that up to at least half the time. And the reason why I'm not going for a higher percentage is that during the spring, summer, and fall months, so pretty much every season except for winter, my wife's crafting business can sometimes conflict with church.
Sure.
We'll have craft shows on Sunday mornings and stuff, so it's just literally logistically impossible for us to show up.
Yeah. Does the church have like a Wednesday service or something like that?
It does not. It has an 8:30 a.m. traditional service, which is actually the one that my wife and I like to go to.
Sure.
And then there's a 10 o'clock praise service, which I'm sure a lot of people really enjoy and get a lot out of, but every time my wife and I go to it, we both wind up cringing for like the rest of the day.
More contemporary service, I take it?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
So I've gotten spoiled on the traditional service, and I actually wrote a blog post about that back in our feed that you can look at in the website. I don't really have anything against contemporary worship. It's just not for me. So
yeah, it was a good blog post. Also, it brought in the best Google search result that brought up our page ever.
Yes, I thought that was hilarious.
I believe, if I remember correctly, it was comparison of traditional and contemporary forms of the Lord's Prayer as a Venn diagram. Baffling.
I hope my blog post was useful to whoever it was that searched that.
I really sort of hope they're a listener and they contact us and tell us what they were searching for that for, because that was fascinating. I'm like,
yeah,
tell me more.
I would love to know kind of like what prompted that very specific Google search.
I know it kind of feels like a
theology project or something. Yeah,
something,
I think
yeah.
It definitely was a theology project, and they were looking for graphics.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds awesome, and I really want to know more. Anyway,
yeah,
Brandon.
Yes, going off of what you two had said, I have my top faith one, which is I need to look in around this area and find a Seventh-day Adventist church. Because, in all honesty, I don't think I've been to church in a couple years.
Yeah, and that was actually me until fairly recently. It had been years since I'd regularly attended church, so.
I was attending church, like, very, like, we moved away from where I used to go to church and up into Frederick. And I didn't like the church up there, so we just stopped going. And then in order to combat that, I went to a Christian university, Southern Adventist University, and I didn't like it at all. And so I've been more having a spiritual and personal walk with God, where I still pray to God and everything like that, and you know, try to think and contemplate things and learn. But I think it might be good for me to at least look into any of the churches around here and see if any of them really call to me as I should belong there.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Actually, talking of praying, that's actually my other big resolution for 2013 is to pray on a daily basis. I tend not to pray much, and that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
But I also have this tendency to only pray when I really feel lost or really worried or scared or afraid. As you might imagine, prayed a fair bit first couple weeks of Rachel's life. But that's about it. There's no daily asking for help, nothing, you know, no minor problems. I don't converse with God, if you will. There's no... It's only, hey, you know, I need something, I need something, I need something, and that's not good. You know, a quick, you know, blessing and prayer of thanks over meals is about the only other time we pray. And I want to break that habit and get into the habit of praying regularly, which will kind of help with some of the other stuff, too, so...
Yeah, I'd kind of like to get a little better about that as well. I've got a tendency to either, like you, either when I'm in trouble or when something really extraordinary happens, I often will at least remember to say a quick prayer of thanks, but there's no real dialogue there.
See, like, that's... I don't want to, like, brag or anything. That's kind of been the opposite in my walk. I've felt myself talking to God for some time, and what I would say is just every time I think of something, like, and I'll admit I don't do it 100%, and I could always be better at it, and it is something that I should probably work on too, but it's like somehow I just have this voice in me that tells me I should pray, like, and it'll just hit me, and I'll be like, okay, well, I'll pray for something I need, and if it happens or if it doesn't, I'll yeah. I'll pray for thanks and things either way.
Yeah, and that's a good gift to have. You know, I've always admired people who do have that ability to sort of spontaneously pray. You know?
Yeah.
Because I definitely don't. I'm almost embarrassed about it, even when it's just me and God by ourselves, as it were. And so that always kind of throws me. But no, I mean, it's a good trait to have. It really is.
I've got a couple more here under the faith category. I'd like to get a little bit more involved in my church. They've kind of started to reach out to me a little bit, and my wife as well, because we're younger and we attend the traditional service, which is not real common for people in our age range, which, once again, I've written a whole blog post about how I think that's kind of sad, but there it is.
Right.
And... if they want us there, I think we should be a little more available for some of the stuff they'd like us to do. So
yeah.
That's one of mine. And then the other one is I'd like to knock down at least 4 new books on various Christian topics. And I've got 3 of the 4 kind of already sitting in my queue, and I just need to get to reading them. Mere Christianity, which you've recommended to me countless times, and I've started reading but haven't finished yet. The Language of God, which is... a book by one of the head guys in the Human Genome Project about how science and faith are not as irreconcilable as some of the hardcores on either side would have you believe. And a book from Adam Hamilton called Why, about where God is when suffering and hardship happens.
Yeah. If you're interested, I'll interject real quick. If you like that book, you may also like C.S. Lewis's The Problem of Pain, which addresses a very similar topic. Why is there evil? Why is there pain? Why does suffering happen, etc.?
Gotcha. Right. Okay, so Grant, I see you've got a couple more in your list, and Brandon, you've got a couple more in yours.
The third one I've got for faith is to start up a program of reading the Bible on a daily basis. And technology is actually kind of helpful here. There's a site I've found, uversion.com. I think there are other similar sites that have similar programs. But they have sets of daily reading plans for the Bible. There are some that are just, you know, start to finish, and that, you know, some that are thematic, and some that are designed to get you through the whole Bible in a certain amount of time. In most cases, they have, like, one-year plans for the Bible. I actually started one briefly that was an 8-month plan.
Wow, that's ambitious.
Well, actually, it's not, though, because it basically was the first couple chapters of Genesis, the first Psalm, and the first chapter of Matthew.
Okay.
And I'm not even sure it was the first chapter of Matthew. And that was your reading for the first day. And then there was a similar amount of reading for the second day, and so on. It's not really that bad. I mean, 8 months is a fair amount of time.
Yeah, but I mean, that's still fairly aggressive. The Bible is a big book.
It is. It is. But the reason I kind of wanted to do this is, first of all, there's, you know, this U-Version has an app for Android devices that gives you the daily reading plan and will pull it up and show it to you. So that's handy.
Yeah, I think I've actually got this in my Nook here.
Yeah, I've got their app on my phone as well. And my wife has an Android tablet, and I was thinking that she and I could do this together. A, it'd be a little time together, which we don't get very much, what with my work schedule and having a baby and so on. And secondly, it'd be good for both of us.
Time with the spouse is always important.
It is, and because we trust each other so much, it's one of the things that we tend to let drop sometimes, because it's like, okay, she'll understand. Okay, he'll understand. And then, you know, it doesn't happen for a little while, and we're both miserable.
And it's like, hey, who are you? Oh, wait, you're my spouse. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Not good. But anyway, so I wanted to do this daily Bible reading plan, something like that. You know, just to have something to sort of keep things front and center. And speaking of things that are front and center, I'm just going to go ahead and wrap up mine here real quick. The other one I've got is sort of a more loosely defined resolution, which is to try and keep a Christian mindset throughout the day. Not just when I'm feeling good about things, you know, try and be forgiving of others, try and, you know, think, okay, what would I do as a Christian here? What would Christ want me to do here, as opposed to just sort of going off instinct or past history and training and so on and so forth, and just generally try and improve my actions and that sort of internal monologue that we all have, try and improve that so it's less, I don't know, spiteful and horrible.
Try and at least stick to Hanlon's razor a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. So, but that's it for me on that front.
Honestly, I think we could probably all use to do a little more of that. I know I certainly could.
Ain't that the truth?
See, I have a couple, like, two more that I put down, one in the middle, because I just started thinking about it and thought I should put it in. The first one is, of course, is to continue exploring my faith and basically grow as a Christian and as a person. Like, I don't want to just grow as, you know, just a Christian, because then, I listen to other people a lot. I've had a whole bunch of different talks with a whole bunch of people from a whole bunch of different faiths, and like I love learning from other people what they believe and stuff like that. In some manner, even talking to other people of other faiths and especially other different denominations, it helps me, like, I feel understand the world and God better and things like that. Because yeah, part of me believes that even like in other religions there could be a little bit of God trying to work the good and stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's weird. I just want to be a better person. And the last one I put down here is something that, like, I thought, because I would, I don't know how I can do it. Like, it's honestly, in my faith, a lot of times it's not as out there as it can be, but
Real quick, what's the resolution?
Oh, be more outwardly Christian without pushing people away.
Okay.
Because, like, I don't want to go, oh, everyone, and start handing out tracts, because, like, you know,
it's proven fairly ineffective, so.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I know that there's, like, several people who know about my religion because I don't eat pork. I don't eat crab. I live in Maryland. We are Crab Central.
Yep.
So it comes up a lot when I go, oh, it just doesn't have to be shellfish, I can't have that. And, like, but the thing is there's this guy who is in LKT, who, as I was telling him about this podcast, because I shared this little thing in the LKT page to see if someone of them wanted to give us some resolutions.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, what was this about? And I said, well, it's a Christian podcast. He's like, you're Christian? I'm like, I thought you were an atheist. I'm like, no, I'm Seventh-day Adventist. And
yeah.
So part of me thought, I was like, am I doing something wrong? But now that I put that down, I'm like, what more could I do? And, like, because I don't want to be all, like, you know.
Yeah, none of us are really comfortable being evangelical. And I think that's come through on the podcast pretty clearly.
None of us are the street corner preacher type, no.
No, definitely not. But I think because we all tend to be sort of introverted geeks, we're none of us terribly comfortable about being really open about us anyway. And that's part of it. And, you know, religion's one of those things that we just don't bring up. You know, it starts fights and yada, yada, yada. And I think you're right that this is something I really need to work on, too. We need to be better about being outwardly Christian and not being ashamed of that, but using that as an opportunity to engage with people as opposed to pushing them away. I think that's a really good one. And we need to do an episode or something on that, because and get somebody on who knows how to do it, because I sure don't.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Put that down for possible episode ideas.
Yeah, no kidding. Peter, you have any others?
Not in the faith category.
Awesome.
We've gone through mine. That's a pretty large category, so...
Then you'd better start.
I guess I'll start with my biggest one. I'd like to come out of 2013 with at least one new IT cert. Stretch goal of maybe two.
Real quick, for non-technical people, that's an IT certification, basically saying, I'm qualified in this particular set of skills with this technology, so on and so forth.
Yeah, the ones that I'm looking at right now are CompTIA A+, which basically is a piece of paper that says I know how to build a computer from parts, I can do desktop support and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I actually can do that sort of thing. I've been doing it as a hobbyist for years, so it should be a fairly easy one for me to get with just a little bit of studying.
Yep.
And then something security related, which I'm also a little bit of a hobbyist on, but in that particular case, it's a little bit of a case of the cobbler's children have no shoes.
Yeah.
I use LastPass, and I've got some other kind of lightweight best practices in place, but we'll get to some of the stuff that I'd like to do eventually as we drop further down the list. How about you guys? You got any other equally geeky things that you want to do in the coming year? Or?
Well, yeah. Thanks to, I think you pointed me towards CodeAcademy.com, which is a really nice site to learn programming languages, even if you don't know anything about programming. I've been working my way through some of that lately, combining that with the Python knowledge I've had to learn for software testing. And my goal for 2013 is to learn enough of a programming language to produce something functional. I haven't decided what that is yet. I have a couple of ideas. I've been promising my Birthright group for a long while now a functional database application so that we can stop tracking our Birthright game on this impossibly massive spreadsheet. This thing is terrifying. It's got, I think, 23 pages, all formula-driven.
I'd also like to get back into Code Academy a little bit, but I don't necessarily even want to write anything. I just want to get to the point where I understand code a little better.
Yeah, I'm actually going through, not on Python, but on JavaScript right now, because I've also wanted to do a really simple dice roller for Google Plus Hangouts as an app. There are a few dice rollers out there which have kind of a big interface, the whole click your dice to add them, roll certain amounts of these dice, and they've got pictures and all that sort of stuff. And I don't like doing dice that way in a dice roller. I like having a simple command line thing, like slash roll, and then type out the dice expression and hit enter.
Yeah. If you do that, can I ask something?
Yeah.
Please support fudge dice.
Oh yeah, no, that's gonna be in there. I've got a whole suite of dice that I want to support, and since I don't really want much of a UI. I kind of want it all to be in the command line, in the chat.
You want to write a dice roller program for Linux nerds.
I want to write one where I can just type in the number and not have to click and fiddle and adjust and yada, yada, yada.
That actually makes perfect sense.
So that's one idea. I've got a few others. But basically, that's one I really want to do, is make something functional with a programming language.
Well, speaking of language and making something functional, probably my second personal one is I want to be more consistent in my writing. as you guys know, I'm currently writing a huge epic movie script, which it's no longer a movie and is turning into a comic book, that I really need to continue working on. Again, it's fallen into me not touching it, especially since Writers Guild has slowed down. Yep. Hopefully, when that kicks back up again, I'll have more of a go get them to I have to write more so that people will read more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to get back on my writing, too.
I really miss reading that screenplay. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so. That was really a lot of fun.
That's good. Peter, what's the next one for you?
Well, as I kind of just mentioned, my blogs have been lying fallow for months now, so I'd like to get those going again.
Yeah.
And then the other one is, I made a little crack about you writing the DICE program for Linux nerds, but I'd like to actually become a little bit more of one of those myself. Particularly for security stuff, it's really handy to know Linux pretty intimately.
Yeah.
So I'd like to get my desktop dual booted into probably an Ubuntu derivative and get comfortable using it at least as a secondary operating system day to day. I've been looking at Backbox Linux, which can be used for both pen testing and as a day to day OS.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of rumblings in the industry that Windows might be getting a little bit more locked down. There's some kind of indications of that in Windows 8, and Valve is moving Steam to Linux as well as Windows and Mac OS, so I think it'd be fun to play around with that. So that'd be kind of a fun techie one. How about you guys? You got anything else in this category?
Well, I have a bunch. I think to step away from the IT-related ones, be an awesome dad. I mean, it sounds silly, but
it's a worthy goal.
Got a four-month-old daughter right now. She'll probably be about 5 months when this episode drops. And that period from 6 months to a year and a half, there's so much that happens in there. And A, I want to be involved. I've done a pretty good job of being involved and not letting work take
over. Kind of rule your life.
Yeah. But I want to really maintain that and be, you know, just really be an awesome, be a involved parent who doesn't miss anything and helps out and just, you know, be part of that. Because I'm only going to get to see my first child grow up once, so.
Absolutely. Make the most of it while you can.
Exactly. Brandon.
Well, my biggest top one in there is just something that less of a resolution and more of a absolute positively must do, which is find a job or jobs that will pay me enough to afford rent and food.
Yep.
Yeah, that's important.
I don't know. Is that a resolution or a priority, you know, to-do list option there?
Priority to-do list, but it's definitely something that I really, really need to do.
Yep.
Because I'm no longer a student and thus need to go out and do things. Because if I don't do that, I'll have to move in home with my parents. And I won't like that. My parents won't like that. My girlfriend won't like that.
Yeah. So, Brandon, what can you do with the degree you just got? What kind of stuff is out there for...
Honestly, with a degree, I could, because I just finished up a class about corporate video, so I could try to find a place that I'm working with corporate video. I wanted to try to get a job at a TV station so that I could, because that's really where my passion was in live broadcast. Like, I want to work in the booth, the technical booth of like a news station, like be the technical director or the director who's like, all right, ready camera one. Okay, take camera one. All right, now we need to fade this in. Cue this up, slow that in. All right, and give me a shot on two, stuff like that.
Cool.
Best of luck with that.
Yeah, my brother-in-law is actually looking for similar work right now. You know, he's got a mass comm degree. He's been telling me a lot about that stuff, and it sounds a lot of fun.
Oh, it is. It's so much better than, like, for at least to me, doing like post-production and like shooting a video and then having to edit it forever and then doing things like that, because it goes out live and I either will have a job tomorrow or I won't. And I can accept that and move on.
There you go.
Nice.
Yep.
Oh, what else have we got in here?
another one for me, and this is one that we probably all need to work on, going to the gym regularly. I've got a gym membership, but my wife and I have been pretty bad about going.
Gee, I can't imagine why with a newborn.
Well, you know, that's actually not the problem. We can hand her off to people. You know, we've got grandparents who would love to hold on to the grandbaby for a couple hours, or even 30 minutes. It's right up the road from us.
But, or even 30 days. They are grandparents, after all. Yeah.
No, they'd get tired of it after 30 days. She screams a lot.
Ah, okay.
But we get tired after a long day, after... Honestly, the holidays are just... It's tough to schedule that kind of time. So, we've been bad about it, but the goal is to attend regularly. My goal is to lose 2 full pant sizes on my waist and, you know, just generally be healthier. I've had some mild blood pressure problems, and I want to get rid of those. So, and that's just inactivity.
I'd like to get it down about 10 more pounds. I'm currently about 205. I'd like to get it down to about 195. I can never seem to quite get below that magic 200-pound marker.
Yeah.
And my job is pretty darn physical. A lot of the time, by the time the workday is over, I'm aching from, like, multiple parts of my body. I'm not 20 anymore.
Yeah.
So it's... The workout aspect of it is taken care of at work.
Right.
It's just I need to kind of watch my diet and get a little better about that.
Yeah,
sort of
diet's
thing,
a big thing for me. I have gotten good about cutting out soda by and large. I'm good there, but I need to really focus on that for 2013 and make sure to finish cutting that out of my diet.
Well, for me, this is not one on my list, but that's something that probably I should do, too. Even sitting here, the shirt that I'm wearing that should be loose-fitting is very tight around my belly. Like, it's very loose in all other parts, but my belly,
yep,
it's really tight on. And like, part of the reason I know for this is because I was on a college diet of, I have a meal plan. So the best thing I can do is, like, spend one meal on the all-you-can-eat place and, like...
Ah, the nachos and pizza diet. Yes, it's very common with college students.
It was literally nachos. I would go there, and I'm like, delicious nachos.
Yep.
And I would get that, and... Yeah.
Darn your nachos being so delicious.
With that, yes. Oh, they are. They are, and there's 2 places that had delicious nachos. But other than that, that actually brings me into another one of the resolutions
that
I have.
Are there non-delicious nachos?
There are non-delicious nachos. I've had them. They're non-delicious.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Real quick, Peter, I think your mic's scratching a bit.
Oh, sorry. Is it rubbing on my shirt or something here?
Yeah,
by a bit, I mean I was going to finish this point and say someone needs to stop sanding their mic down. All right, so...
But yeah, I like my belt sander.
All right, so going on about this whole thing about losing weight, I need to improve my ability to cook and maintain a clean apartment, because that's one of the things you do when you grow up.
Yep.
And now I won't have, like, a cafeteria to go and eat at, and we can't keep ordering out food because that's entirely too expensive.
And really not healthy either, yeah.
Yeah. No.
Well, the good news is I kind of like to cook. I can throw some recipes your way.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Chrissy has an entire bookshelf full of recipes. I can go through and get you some good ones if you want, or I can just rate her recipe box.
Like, that'd be very helpful. I actually do enjoy cooking. The of course, main issue will be, like, it not being incredibly expensive. So I might, like most poor college people, end up living on macaroni and cheese. And
you know, I can actually give you some tips on stretching your grocery dollars, too.
Yeah,
that would be very, very helpful.
My wife and I have gotten very good at that over the years, because it gives us more money to spend on other stuff.
Yep. Anyway, Peter, do you have any others?
Yeah, in the shockingly nerdy category again, I would like to set up a far more complicated than normal network at home. I had all kinds of nerdy details in here. I think I'm just going to leave them in the document and not inflict them on our users.
That's fair. Not a bad idea.
I'd also like to get a little more engaged with the social media stuff that I'm involved in, Google Plus and Twitter. Right now, I maybe do something with those once every couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I'll toss out a tweet like every 2 weeks or so. I'll get on Google Plus, not never.
Right.
And since I'm part of a podcast and I'm in some other communities and stuff, I think it would probably behoove me to make an effort to be a little bit more social with these people, which kind of goes against my introverted nature, but
yep.
That's why it's a resolution instead of something I'm doing already.
Yeah, I hear you there. I kind of have a couple that are all related to the Saving the Game podcast itself. The first and kind of most obvious one is to be consistent with podcast production. Keep it going. Don't be late with episodes. Don't pod fade. You know, kind of the obvious stuff. I really want to get some cool guest hosts on Saving the Game in 2013.
Well, you've certainly set the bar high enough with the first two, so...
Yeah, I mean, Dan and Shannon were fantastic guests, and it was a lot of fun. There are a couple other people I've got in mind, some who've approached us, some who we want to talk to, but I really want to make that happen this year and all through the year and really sort of get some of those voices on the podcast and have them talk about some really interesting things. And then the third one for me is to facilitate the growth of an active community of Saving the Game listeners. We can't just kind of make a community happen.
No, certainly not. There's only three of us. It's yeah. Not much of a community.
No, we are a very tiny community. But the listener community has kind of been slowly growing over the past couple of months. And this sort of gets into some of the social stuff that you were talking about. I've been really trying to be engaged with that. Not as much as I should be, but I've been trying a little bit.
You've been doing a far better job than I have been. I think you tweet probably 20 times for every one that I come up with, so...
Not that much. Definitely not that much, but Google Plus and Facebook I'm a little better on. But, you know, those are there, and I need to get better about that. And some of it is just growing the podcast audience. I don't want to turn it into a race for more listeners, but... You know, the more people you have listening, the more people there are to be involved. And I really want the community of listeners to contribute to the show as more than just passive consumers of media. We love hearing comments from people and not just, you know, for ego stroking. Like, it's really good to say, oh, that's something I didn't think about.
Well, I mean,
that's
we got an entire episode, last episode, out of a listener question.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we do not have any kind of a corner on the brains or ideas market at all. I think that question DeMaio, or however his username is pronounced, I hope he listens to the episode and tells us.
Yeah.
I think that was one of our strongest episodes, and it wasn't anything that we thought of. So I would love to see more of that in the coming year.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we have some other things that we've been thinking about for growing the community. I actually think the fundraiser for PEG Partners did a fair bit for us. It turned growing the community and getting, you know, listeners involved into something that really benefited a lot of people in a really concrete way, which is great.
Yeah.
I'm excited by that, and we got to figure out something cool to do for 2013.
Well, and I think it kind of, as Christians and as first world dwellers, I think it's kind of incumbent on us to try and find things we can do to help people who are not so fortunate around the world. So
yeah, exactly.
That's definitely a good pattern to get into. I think we're kind of required to by scripture. So
yes, absolutely. But I mean, it's just, that's kind of the stuff I want to do with the podcast, because the podcast is kind of my big non-gaming free time activity. I don't know about you guys, but that's sort of what I do. And maybe it's just because I do the editing. You know, I'm thinking about the podcast more, but
well,
that's kind of my big activity.
It was also your original idea, too.
Yeah, kind
of. No, not kind of. It was. You got me into this after you thought of it.
All right, you're going to make me take credit for it, aren't you? All right.
Yes, I am. or blame, but I think credit is more appropriate in this case.
There's an opportunity for listener feedback. yeah, but I guess to sum all that up, I really want to try and give the community room to grow. Whether or not it grows is kind of out of our hands, but I want there to be room for it to grow, and I don't want the community to be restricted by not having some means of communicating and not being able to talk amongst itself and that sort of thing. Because there's really nothing more fun than community of people listening to a podcast.
As we've mentioned on every single episode, that's how we met each other. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So.
You've taken a good first step, by the way. Listeners, we actually have a Google Plus group now.
Yeah, the community.
Yes, sorry, wrong term. Google Groups was
the old thing that they
basically discontinued. But yes, we have a Google Plus community for the podcast now, so check that out. Grant was kind enough to set that up.
Ever the overachiever,
it's still 2012, and he's already working on his 2013 resolutions.
I'm a time traveler.
Oh.
Just saying. All right. Brandon, do you have any others?
I've got one that actually I've been always thinking about saying as soon as Peter was talking. I wanted to of course, like Peter, be more active in the Saving the Game community than I previously have. Like, I haven't been active in really any community.
Well, in fairness, you've been a full-time student, so...
Yeah.
You have an excuse.
Yeah. Yeah, really, the only one of us that doesn't have an excuse is me, and I just haven't been, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Well, you were a student also, but anyway...
I was a part-time student.
And you had a job, so... There we go. Other than being more active in the Saving the Game community, I'm also probably going to be more active in the LKT community than I have been. Which is odd because now I'm an alumni and this is a student organization. But it also kind of fits because we're actually trying to work on having more of an alumni base. I want to help set that up and I want to help do everything else. Also, especially because one of my friends was elected Greek chair, the position I was in at the beginning of last semester. And so I've basically said I was going to help her and do whatever she needed to so that her rush succeeds.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very good. I'm actually out of personal resolutions.
I've got one more.
Well, no, actually, that's not quite true. I wanted to read more books, but that's...
I did too.
Quick and easy one.
And in addition to the four Christian books that I want to read this year, I'd also like to toss in at least two just general nonfiction ones. I'm thinking probably one of them will be The Art of Intrusion by Kevin Mitnick, and I'm not sure what the other one's going to be yet.
I have one last one, which is a tradition that a resolution I really need to do. I need to get back into the tradition of playing high-low with Rose each night, which is where before bed we tell each other what the high and low of our day was.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Ooh, yeah.
That's actually something that I got from the Keith and the Girl podcast, which is definitely not a Christian or work safe podcast. But yeah, it was something else that I listened to, and they had a really great idea.
No, that's like, a good idea. We try and talk to each other about our day, but you know, when it's just how was your day? There's always it was fine. Yeah, it wasn't great. It was this. It was that. Yeah, it was good. You don't really talk about it. And you don't really engage with each other. So I like the idea of trying to specify the high point and low point. You know, because that gives you something to talk about. That's a good idea. I like that one. I really like that one.
It's yoink.
Yeah.
Well, I yoinked it so. And
I have re-yoinked it from you.
And honestly, as a little inside joink, yoink is one of the catchphrases of the female co-host, Hemda. When she's taking other people's food, she just goes yoink.
There you go. All right, so, Peter.
Yeah?
What's your first gaming resolution for 2013?
Oh, let's see here. My first gaming resolution for 2013 is to try and maintain at least a semi-regular game with you two. The current plan is, since we record every other week, to use the weeks in between our recordings as our game nights.
Yeah.
So far, we have done this once, so it is working perfectly.
100% success!
Yes, right now!
Yeah, that won't last. I have
four-month-old. It will not. It will not last. It will not. No way.
Yeah, but we will certainly try. That one's sort of incumbent on all of us, honestly.
It really is.
But kind of my big one for gaming for me this year is GMing. I want to try and GM two games, not necessarily two long-running campaigns, but I want them to be more than one-shots, or little tiny mini-campaigns. I want them to have some action and some definite plot progression. I have only GM'd in the past two one-shots and a abortive Eberron campaign that never really went anywhere. It was 4th edition D&D. So I really want to try and step into the GM's chair this year.
Cool. It's a lot of fun. I actually prefer GMing to playing.
Yeah. And I feel like I know more about it at this point now and could do it successfully. Before, I just don't think I had the gaming experience to do it, so.
Gotcha.
Brandon?
Honestly, I think I would have to say for, well, the first one, main one, is I need to resolve to keep time for gaming and other things while still having a job and things like that, because personal time is important. Other than that, I kind of want to be better at a game master and writing games, but I also think I need to play more. And it's something that I've really wanted to do. I haven't actually had a lot of time to play recently, because usually I end up being the GM of my groups. Because I'll go, hey everybody, let's play a role-playing game. I'm so sick and tired of not having a role-playing game. And some people go, okay, great, run a role-playing game. And I'm like, no.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like I want to play in a game.
Somebody else to run the role playing game.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, hopefully I'll be GMing. I think we'd kind of already talked about me stepping up to the GM's plate after Peter wraps up his little saving the game, as it were. And so maybe that'll be one of them. We'll see. And actually, yeah. Speaking of playing, the other one for me that's really important to me is playing new systems. I've got down, you know, play three systems, but I don't really care how many it is. I just want to play something new. All of my games have pretty much been Shadowrun and the D20 system, whether it's 3.0, 3.5, Pathfinder, whatever, it's the D20 system.
You've done some World of Darkness, too.
Yeah, I did one World of Darkness game. Now, it went for 3 years, so I got to roll a lot of D10s, but it was still one Mage the Ascension game. That's it. I've got a shelf full of books I haven't used. I've got 100 games in mind that I want to try, and I haven't been able to play any of them. And I want to really get hands-on with systems and settings and ideas that I haven't played before. Specifically systems. I'm big on systems, and I really want to try those.
Yeah, I've just got on here learn at least one new system this year. I don't know. I've been kind of eyeing that Fate Core Kickstarter a little bit.
Yeah.
When that inevitably comes out, I think that might be a cool one, because I like the aspects and stuff. I've run a hacked Spirit of the Century before, so.
Right. I've never played a Fate game. I talk about Fate all the time because I've read a bunch of the Fate books. I've never managed to play it. I got involved in a Dresden Files character creation session once, and that was it.
I can reassure you from my experience with the game that I played, the system works great. It's every bit as fast and, to crib from Microsoft, it's every bit as fast and fluid in play as you would expect it to be. So it's a nice system. I like it.
Cool.
Honestly, I do enjoy Fate, but part of, like, because I'm currently running a Dresden Files game, or I was currently running a Dresden Files game until school ate my time, and now, like, it's sort of fallen into the end of the year Christmas limbo space where I'm hoping I can pull it out of its nosedive and get back to actually running a game. The other main thing is I realized I am not good at writing plots. I don't know if any of the players would agree with that, because I think I pulled out a couple really good ones, but now I'm sitting here going, what do I want to do next? I mean, I know who the general overall big bad is, but I don't know the next...
I'm lazier than you are, because I like to just create a problem and see what my players do.
I've been approaching it kind of like a TV series and movie, where I want them to grow and change. And
knowing you like I do, that shocks me exactly zero.
Yeah. But yeah, I know the big bad, and I know the final scene I want this game to end on, and I know a couple other really cool episodes that I wanted to put in there. I even now have recently discovered what I wanted to be the next scene of the game.
Brandon, are you familiar with an independent role-playing game called Primetime Adventures?
Not at all.
You need to be familiar with this game. Hang on. We'll talk off the air.
Yeah. All right.
So getting better at plotting in games.
Well, that was kind of my last one. But, see, like, I don't know, like, because you were mentioning Fate, and part of me is like, I don't really care about Fate anymore. I love Fate.
Mm-hmm.
And I do actually, kind of what I want to do is I want to play an Avatar The Last Airbender Fate game, because I think the system could really, really work with it.
I have another system that I want to play that in.
What would that be?
Anima Prime, by Christian Griffin, who's a really cool guy, by the way. It's kind of a anime-ish, JRPG-ish system that's really fast and really, really clever. I'm a big fan of it. We'll have to link that in the show notes. The nice thing is you can buy the book for it, but the kind of roughly formatted PDF is actually free on its website, so we'll definitely have to link that.
Nice.
I was actually going to run a game like that at Fear the Con 5 before I chickened out. So
I would have played it. If I had gone, I would have played it, because I played in Scott Bonner's, I believe his name is, Avatar The Last Airbender game last year, or at Fear the Con 4, and it was pretty fun.
Nice. Yeah, it wouldn't actually be Avatar. I had another setting in mind, because I've not actually seen Avatar, but what I know of Avatar would be a lot of
Avatar.
Fun. It is sitting in my Netflix queue, and it's going to sit there for years.
On Netflix?
Well, yeah, it's going to sit there until my daughter is old enough to watch it with me. That's the plan.
Okay.
So I got a couple of years on this yet, but it's okay.
Well, see, you could do what my friend James did and watch it yourself and then rewatch it with your child years later and kind of be able to answer questions that she has on the fly and stuff.
It's not a bad idea. It'd give me an excuse.
Yeah, I mean, like, watch the first episode and see if you can stop watching.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you may be able to. It starts off a little bit slow, but it is very, very good.
I can stop watching anything. I'm remarkably lazy.
You can... This is the man that can stop watching Firefly, I have a feeling.
Firefly never clicked with me. So.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, no, I watched 3 episodes, like, eh, what's the point? Eh, not very good. But I don't like Westerns, so...
Oh, you don't like Westerns? Oh.
That's another thing. I also kind of wanted to do a Firefly. I guess, like, I've got a whole bunch of games that I want to play. But the one that really, really made my list, which is the one that I really, really want to do, is I want to play a game of Battletech. And by game of Battletech, I don't mean a battle. I mean a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what we've heard Fear the Boot say repeatedly about how they do stuff and get into all this stuff, because that seemed incredibly, incredibly interesting. Whereas, like, I've played a battle of Battletech. I played it at Fear the Con 4. Mm-hmm. It was Chris's event.
Okay.
Even. And honestly, it was boring because there were entirely too many people on 3 teams, and I didn't know the system that well.
Right.
So I didn't know what to do, and for a lot, literally, my mech was walking back and forth for, like, half the battle, and it just was just like...
Yeah. It sounds like you really kind of want to play Mech Warrior. Like, play the stuff that happens outside of the mech.
Yes!
Yeah. That does sound fun.
Yeah, that actually sounds a lot more interesting to me than playing the battles out and stuff.
Again, it's new to me. I will play it. I will play anything.
So. Well, I would want to do both, like what they did.
Well, yeah, you got to get both in there.
Yeah, like if I'm a mech warrior, I don't want to sit around angsting about my mech and then, like, cut to black when we get into a battle, and then come out and do more dramatic scenes. It's, no, there has to be the filler of, I get in the mech, I go do stuff, my life is on the line.
Yeah, the crunchy stuff happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I think I'd want to play, like, a saboteur that specialized in wrecking enemy mechs before they ever got on the battlefield in a game like that.
So be it.
But yeah, of course, I also do want to play Star Wars. It's Star Wars is a game that brought me into role playing, and like I bought the Saga Edition book. I've leafed through it. I've really enjoyed it. I really, really, really want to play a noble because that's the kind of person I am. I enjoy the talky royal person who can smile at your face and get you to do what he says.
Nice.
And walk away going, walk away with leaving you like. Without anything except for pants going, you know, I really liked that guy.
Fun.
I've had an idea kicking around in my head for a while to start working on a line of Pathfinder PDFs, multi-class helper stuff. You know how there's like the Arcane Trickster and like the Eldritch Knight and that, you know, the Mystic Thierge and that sort of thing that are designed to take... Yeah. You know, two classes and kind of mash them together into a multi-class character.
Yes.
And then also you probably remember from 3.5, the multi-class helper feats where you could take those and levels of one class would count towards a specific class feature of another.
Yeah.
I'd like to do a whole line of multi-class helper prestige classes and feats for every possible multi-class combination for Pathfinder. This would keep me busy for decades.
So really you want to do combinatorial math?
Yeah, I'm actually more interested in the flavor aspects and stuff. What does it look like when you, you know, mix this and this?
Right.
What do you wind up with afterwards?
Okay, cool.
The first one I'd probably do would be the Gunslinger Paladin mix, which I'm calling Sacred Marshal.
Hmm.
So
I want to play that now.
Oh man. Cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. Speaking of writing stuff, I kind of have two writing.
Peter, I'm cutting you off, Grant, to say, Peter, you have only yourself to blame if I start begging you and hounding you to be a gunslinger marshal or have some other character who's a gunslinger marshal.
Tell you what, one of these days I'll run a more western-y type of fantasy setting for you, and you can play it in that because it wouldn't really fit in this particular setting.
I think it would fit perfectly.
Actually, I could drop you guys into my primary D20 fantasy setting that's like full steampunk and full magic and let you experience the over-the-top craziness of that world.
I'm sorry, I know I'm cutting Grant off horribly and going on this tangent, but this is how my characters are made. One idea comes in there, and it just sparks, and I go, oh my gosh, I have a character for this, and what this person would be like. Which is, you know, why I have, like, which is why I was getting more into the whole Orc Paladin, because all my, the archetype of Orc Paladin was in there. Now I've got a new Paladin archetype, which is Gunslinger Paladin.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, you have fanned your Ashwalker Paladin into a full-on bonfire at this point, so why don't you warm yourself by those flames for a while, and then once that burns down to embers, we can get you going on something else.
Oh,
so
I don't want to give up Garrus. I love Garrus. He's totally awesome.
Actually, you know what, though? That does kind of bring up something for me. I tend to make characters by saying, here's a mechanic I'm interested in, now I'm going to build a personality around that.
I tend to do the same thing a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, as a result of that, I don't make very interesting characters, and I have one of my resolutions for this year is be a better role player in games, and I think the character creation process sort of feeds into that. I tend to hide behind my dice when I'm playing a character. Instead of
in our first session
role playing instead of acting. Well, I was trying to do better in your game, and some of it is, you know, it's a different scenario. There's no assumptions on how people act in this game because it's a brand new game, you know, new group, that sort of thing. But in past games, instead of acting and interacting and role-playing with people, I've tended to sort of get the dice out and be like, this happens. You know, I do this well, instead of playing it out. I think I've gotten a couple games of Fiasco in over the past year. I think that's helped a lot, because it's all that. And just being, and doing different stuff helps that. But that's, that's something I really want to do and really fix.
Well, I would say you're definitely going to do that, because as you can clearly see, as you clearly saw in the last game, I roleplay my characters.
Yeah.
Like, the first action I had was my character is stripping naked to go through this river. And, you know, and then after that, I went up and I hugged, you know, your character to just as a little, like,
this
joke move, I'm all wet.
Without context.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all wet and cold, so that I'm going to get you wet and cold and then try to throw you into the river.
There's a polar bear club-like city festival that happens in the setting.
No, it's entirely funnier if there's absolutely no context for a wet, naked man hugging my character. And we'll just end that there. Peter, you have any others?
No, I'm tapped out. My whole list is gone.
Okay. Brandon?
I think I might have one or two more. Let me see. Oh, yes, well, of course, the other thing going on to things, I want to get to at least a point where I could run a game in the Y2112 setting that I'm making, the post-apocalyptic sort of grab bag thing where everything cool is sort of happening, but everything's kind of explained.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Like, I think it's at a point where I could almost start to do it. The scary thing is I know I kind of have the, like, sort of the Asian part of the world, or at least the main part of the world, statted out enough where I know, like, the different ways in which things are going around, so I could probably hold some of a game over there, but I really want to hold a game, like, set in America, where it's more American and...
Right.
Thanks.
Hmm.
Cool. Okay. That's good stuff. Speaking of writing, actually, that's a good one. I'm going to throw out one of them, because I don't think I'm going to have much time to write my own setting like I wanted to this year. And I don't want to try and commit to that if I don't think I'll be able to do it at all. But, weirdly enough, my wife, who has never played any Call of Cthulhu, keeps having ideas for Call of Cthulhu modules that she wants to write.
Okay.
Which is awesome. And it gives me a chance, or an excuse, to buy Call of Cthulhu, which is something I've been wanting to do, and get her writing, which is something she's been wanting to do, and get her interested in RPGs, which is something we've both been wanting to do. So this works out well. I just gotta make time for that and help her do that, you know, help her with any mechanical questions she's got, etc. So that's kind of on my list, is helping her get started with that and commit to it.
Hmm.
Brandon, any others?
I've got one last one. It's not really about, like, role-playing game, but I want to have what I'm calling the World Domination Party, which is basically, I'm going to try to get a whole bunch of my friends over into my apartment, and we're going to start early on in the day. We're going to break out the board game Risk, mm-hmm. and we're going to play it. We did this once before, which led to my title of the Moon King, nice. Because we have Future Risk. I want to take it one step further this time, in that the game we play, while we're doing that, I also want to kind of do a multiplayer game of Civ 5. So, like, while people are out there playing Risk and doing their turns and different things like that, one player can be in here, like, doing his turn on Civ 5 and everything.
So essentially you want an analog LAN party.
Basically.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay.
But yeah, and even if that doesn't work out, since I just bought Civ 5, mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying the game Civ 5, but the one thing I really hate are the AIs. Because it's like, they're incredible jerks in every way. I'm like, it's like, there's no reasoning with these people. It's like, you know, they will move in and steal all of my land, but as soon as I move up to take one resource that I need, they yell at me. And I'm like, look, I'm trying to be helpful and diplomatic, but you're just being a total jerk. So I'm like, I need a person so at least I know why you're doing this and you're making somewhat intelligent decisions.
Well, they are AI, so, you know.
Yeah. Cool.
But yeah, that's what I wanted. I wanted to play a game of Civ 5, be it over the internet or with, you know, or as a hot seat game here. I want to do that.
Cool.
No, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
So we're not the only people with resolutions. We put a call out kind of on short notice, I admit, for listeners and their gaming and spiritual and personal resolutions for 2013. And we got a couple people replying. Todd Kolstrom, who replied on our Google Plus page, had the following. And I'll quote him here. Publicly post something I've written, starting with my homebrew family's homebrew fantasy setting, once a week to Google Plus. This will, one, give me a deadline for writing, which should hopefully prompt me to do it more, and two, improve my writing by reading the constructive criticism of my peers. Let me just say right now, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, that's a really good
idea. If you're working on something like that, committing to producing something public in short time frames like that is a great way to stay focused on it. That's why you have writing groups and things like that where you're expected to present progress and say, hey, here's something I've been working on. I think it's a good way to do it. And doing it on a social site like Google Plus, I think is especially good because you can get feedback very quickly from all sorts of people.
Well, the other thing is, like, honestly, hopefully Writers Guild starts up again. And if it does, like, Mr. Todd Kolstrom, I'm sure we would love to have you, you know, explaining some of your stuff and sharing it. And
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the nice thing about having a writing support group that's based in the Fear the Boot forums is people are entirely okay with writing material being turned in as, you know,
gaming
setting write-ups and game material and all that sort of stuff. Hey, it's writing. Oh, yeah. It works.
Yeah, our second guest star, Shannon, like, submitted her world, Lake Trudion, which was
Trudion.
It was awesome, so, yeah.
That's why we
led to us seeking her out as a guest host.
Exactly.
So we've, on a slightly lighter note, Sergeant Dan commented, I resolve to make no New Year's resolutions, thereby keeping my resolution.
He is a smart man.
Yep. Thanks, Dan. That's really helpful. Yeah.
Way to game the system there, Danny boy.
Yeah. I mean, he's right. But...
Yeah, he is right. Or it's better to say maybe he's not wrong.
Yeah. There you go. And then our third one is...
Warning fans, you pick on us, we will pick on you back.
That's right. And Sergeant Dan probably deserves it, and I say that with all due respect, because he is, a former sergeant in the Marine Corps. There you go.
Yeah.
And then Evan Ringo, in a comment on our website, had the following, and this one's fairly long, but there's a lot of good material in here. Evan says, become a better player. I've spent the past couple of years mainly focused on improving my GMing, and in fact, mainly GMing. The games that I played in had a tendency to die. I started thinking about it and realized I was the common element in these games. Further, when I looked around to find the rules lawyer, the chaotic neutral player trolling the group, the druid who won't go into town, and the annoying thief who stole everything, I realized it wasn't anyone else in the group. And if you can't figure out who around you is that guy, it means you're probably that guy. I tend not to take games as seriously as a player. I also have player ADD, so I go after whatever plot looks shiny at the moment, which can create inconsistent characters. I design my characters loosely in the group template, but always seem to cause some sort of in-character conflict with some action I thought was perfectly reasonable. I argue with the GM. I argue with other players. I don't spend the time creating a backstory and learning the character, so I can follow appropriate actions. If you haven't noticed, by the way, Evan is being really harsh on himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very honest with himself. Brutally honest. And that's That's good. Go him. I spend absolutely no time thinking about my character outside of the game. I create a concept from mechanics instead of mechanics from a concept.
Also guilty.
Sorry?
I said I'm also guilty of that.
Well, yeah, me too, and we mentioned that. I get silly, attempting things in character that really don't make sense. Recently, I've been playing my last few characters as stupid, even though they shouldn't be. The majority of characters I create are deeply flawed mechanically as well as narratively, which causes them to fail a lot, which makes me less interested in the game in general. All my characters are chaotic neutral, even if I write lawful good on the character sheet. Guilty of that, let me tell you. I've done that.
I'm actually the same thing, but in reverse.
Yeah.
All of my characters are lawful good, even if I write chaotic neutral on the character sheet.
These are the flaws I've identified and will attempt to fix in the coming year. I don't think I'll GM a game, at the very least, until Fear the Con, if not until next year, trying to improve my characters and my actions as a player to increase both my own fun and the fun of everyone I play with. I think that last point is probably the most important thing that Evan's got to say. Is
yeah, I
make
think
Make it
a very
fun for everyone
goal.
And make it fun for me.
Honestly, what I want to say is I actually have played in a Evan Ringo game. It was short, it was Dresden Files, and I had a pretty awesome character that I wrote about, like, 500 pages on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I statted out his girlfriend a little bit, too. And, like, honestly, the game ended prematurely, and I was sad about that, because we got, like, one session in, and I didn't get to express my character enough. And, like, so I'm really working to redo that character, but I thought he was really good as a GM.
Yeah.
And, like, that... Like, we had some issue talking back and forth about the expression of, like, my girlfriend NPC, but, like, he was able to relay what he was thinking, and in the end, finally, like, we got on the same page, and it was like, oh, that makes sense now. And
yeah.
So, like, yeah. I don't know if he's being entirely too hard on himself, but, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think most of what he's talking about, as far as what he needs to improve, is as a player. I mean, there's a whole middle paragraph there. All that stuff was problems that he's got when he's playing a character. You know, he did say he's spent the past couple years mostly focusing on GMing and being a good GM. Though he does admit that the games he runs tend to die a bit, so...
That's every game.
Well, yeah. Well,
except for your gaming group, which can turn a one-shot into a 7-year campaign, I suppose, but...
Not a one-shot.
Yes. Grant's
five
games
session prologue, yes. But, you know.
Grant's games don't die. Peter doesn't play with, you know, like, horrible people like everyone else does.
Yeah, we break the mold in far too many weird ways. No. Actually, the only...
I like the way I break the mold, thank you very much.
But yeah, I mean, Evan's got a lot of good stuff in there, and honestly, we could spend probably 2 episodes talking about all, you know, the various things he's talking about in detail.
Yeah.
But Evan, we'll just say good luck to you on yours, and Todd, you as well. Dan, good luck, I guess?
Yeah.
Good job?
Yeah.
Congratulations
on successfully completing all your resolutions.
Yes, well done. And this went a lot longer than I anticipated. Wow.
Yeah, we really need to stop saying this is going to be one of our shorter episodes, because then we go for an hour and a half.
Yeah, I just curse it. I should not have said that up front. Wow.
Yeah. I wanted to say something at the beginning of the episode, but I knew this was going to happen, so I figured I'd just save it for the end.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, folks...
The other thing is, there was one more person who sent us in something. It was a pretty long video from my friend Brian, who was a co-host on the original podcast I was on.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Two Geeks, Two Beers in a Podcast. He now has taken that to One Drunk Geek, because he is without a host. So, yeah, he dropped us something and plugged his little show and... gave his resolution. The one I can remember is he wants to move out of his house, which is something that I approve of.
Yes, we wholeheartedly endorse it.
Yes. So, Massey,
goodness,
thank
you
for
people
participating.
Are young. Excuse me, I'm going to go put my 34-year-old dentures in now.
All right, well, so yeah, that's all I had to say. I guess this has been a great episode to record, and...
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, it really
we should link Brian's video... if we can, from the show notes as well. So
okay,
we'll
I also posted it on our Facebook page.
Perfect.
Like, directly
there, you go.
There.
Awesome.
So, but yeah. Other than that, yeah. And I guess if anyone else has any other resolutions that they did not write in, please put it in the comments.
Yeah,
we'd love to hear them.
Never too late to make those resolutions.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think we all want to say thank you for listening. It's been a lot of fun
Absolutely.
So far, and we're really looking forward to doing this more. And thanks for putting up with a random wacky bonus episode to start off your new year. All right. So, folks, from all of us here at Saving the Game, Grant, Peter, and Brandon, thank you. And
good night, everybody.
Good luck with 2013.
Hope you survived the Mayans.
Yeah. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Peace.
This has been a production of Saving the Game, copyright 2012. This podcast may be redistributed under a Creative Commons non-commercial, non-derivative license, provided that credit is given to savingthegamepodcast.org. Our music is by Ryan Humphrey. For past episodes, podcast news from our hosts, or to connect with us, visit our website at savingthegamepodcast.org. God bless, and happy gaming.